Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold cut combo, veggie delight, or Black Forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hey, Shitty Robot Nation, it's your queen calling. I'm currently in my brother's bathroom because this is my happy place. Yay! Okay, not really my happy place. It's because it's the perfect bathroom to film the hair washing robot I just built. And yay for electronics in wet rooms. Who knows? I might be electrocuted by the end of the day. Let's hope not. I would say that I'm an expert, but that's a lie. I'm more of the daredevil kind. Actually, I'm not too worried about it because the suction.
Meet Simone Yacht. She is your queen. Your queen of crappy robots. She calls them sh**. But that's not a word I can use on radio without bleeping it out, just like this. Sh**.
Hey everybody, my name is Simone Yatch, and I build shitty robots and run a YouTube channel about robotics.
Fantastic. You know, Simone, I'm going to have to bleep out every time you say shit, but...
Are you okay with that? Because
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. What I'll do is I'll leave it in the podcast.
Right. Podcast, PG-13.
Correct. So let me pronounce your name again. Simone Yatch.
Yatch, yeah, brilliant. It doesn't make sense.
Well, you've seen my name, so it's incredibly long.
Is it? Okay. Uma Pagan Ampi Kai Pakan.
That's correct. It's phonetic, it just scares people.
It's just a long, it's a long one, but it doesn't, the pronunciation kind of co-lines with how it's spelled.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Eureka!
You're listening to Eureka on the evening edition. I'm Uma Paganampike Pagan, and today we're talking about robots. Not those magnificent creatures of so much science fiction, but rubbish ones. Crappy robots with little function or purpose. Robots conceptualized and built by this woman here.
I obviously don't learn from my mistakes because I just keep on putting motors close to my hair. I have no good explanations. Just happens. If I ever win a Darwin Award, I want this to be the photo they use. So for most of my videos, I tend to like read a book or a magazine or sit with an iPad. And the only reason for that is just because staring into the camera is super awkward. It's kind of like keeping eye contact with somebody taking a sh**. Yep, need to get a book. First book I find, The Gift of Failure. I have not read this book, but boy can I get behind the title. I like failing, it takes the pressure off of things.
So, before we get into your crappy robots.
Is crappy okay?
I think crappy is fine.
Crappy is fine.
So before we get into your crappy robots, talk to me about robots and this fascination. Where did it come from?
I'm not sure. It just tickles my brain the right way. So I am not an engineer by training, but I just really got into building things about 3 years ago because I had a lot of ideas that I wanted to prototype. So I was just like, okay, I guess I'll have to learn how to do it. And robots are just fun. I think like I see myself as somewhat of a robot comedian. And I think it's just such a good contrast because robots are very serious and like you can tell them what to do and they're going to do it no matter what. And there's just this fun contrast when you tell them to do ridiculous things.
The phrase robot comedian is perfect to describe what you do because these YouTube videos that you put out are absolutely hilarious.
Well, thank you.
And it helps that you're so stone-faced about the whole thing.
But you know what? The only reason... So I do different types of videos, but some I just publish short clips of the robots I do working. So for example, I programmed a robot arm to feed me breakfast. And then it's just the short clip of it like pouring milk and cereal all over the place and trying to feed me with a spoon. And then I do longer vlogs where I like talk about how I built it and why I built it and stuff like that. But in those short clips, I do have this like deadpan face. And the only reason for that is that it's like super awkward to do anything else, I find. It's like if I look into the camera, you get this kind of awkward connection where it's like, it's almost like keeping eye contact with somebody on the toilet, where it's just like a really weird connection you don't want to have. So I just rather like I read a book and I just have this like very deadpan face because I don't know what to do otherwise.
I don't think I want to know how you know the awkwardness of keeping eye contact with someone in the toilet.
Dude. I just, yeah, I don't know how I know. I don't know.
Okay, so tell me this. Every time we think robots and robotics, right? If you go back, if you're a reader, you go back to Asimov. If you're any follower of any sort of news, you see Sony's little Aibo dog robot or Honda's Asimo and all of that stuff. They're all very serious things. They're well-constructed. They're somewhat beautiful. And it seems that humanity wants that idea of a robot. And then you come along.
Of that it's just flawless and like a very serious. Right. But I think what's nice about it is just, I mean, like, I just know for myself, when I see a robot and this like wonder of engineering, like these super complex robots, and when I see them fail doing something that I do every day, it just makes me feel good. Like these robots that come out of Boston Dynamics and they fall over in the most ridiculous ways, like walking up a couple of like a flight of stairs or whatever. You're just like, hey, like you might be like super strong and super smart, but you can't walk up a flight of stairs. And I do that every day.
Without fail.
Sometimes I do fail, but most of the time I succeed. And it's just like, I don't know. It just makes them a little bit more human, I think.
The thing I love most about the opening page to your website is the line about being the antidote to Skynet.
Yeah, every time
every time I do a story about robots, Skynet always comes up because with everything that, you know, Google, Microsoft, Apple, everyone's into AI now and robotics and all of this stuff. And I guess the naysayers are always like, well, you know, just like fire, it can be used for good and evil.
Yeah. And it is. And people are like really scared of robots and a potential robot uprising and also artificial intelligence. And I share to some extent that fear because we're paving new paths and getting into very unknown territory previously for humankind. But at the same time, I feel like the best way to learn about, or like the best way to deal with that fear, is learning about it and kind of getting to know what it's all about. But I must say, like, I'm more scared of, for example, like Internet of Things than robotics, because it feels like just you having smart devices that are very hackable and easy to hack everywhere in your house and on you. And just there's just so much data that people can have access to if they just know how to do it.
I don't know if people are quite as scared about robots starting a global war or more scared about robots stealing their jobs.
I think it's a little bit of both.
Really?
But I mean, people are, I mean, yeah, I can kind of see people talking a little bit the same way. It feels like it's the same fear of like robots as some people might have of like immigration, where it's just like starting a war or like stealing your jobs. I think it's just the human reaction to anything that is a little bit unknown.
Hey! I've built something that seriously scares the crap out of me. I don't mean that literally. I can still keep my crap inside. Or I mean, I do let it out, but then it's in a planned manner in the bathroom. 4 years since the last accident and counting. But it was in Mexico, so that was kind of expected in its own way. To the point, introducing the chopping machine. It started off pretty innocent. I've been a vegetarian almost my entire life, and I chop a lot of vegetables.
You're listening to Eureka. I'm Uma Paganampike Pagan, and that was Robot Queen Simone Yatch. You may have seen her videos on YouTube. They're the crazy ones with stupid robots that do everyday things very badly. Pouring out a bowl of cereal, shampooing hair, chopping vegetables. Her videos are hilarious, but they serve something of a purpose.
How this works is that I have these continuous servo motors. They lift the knife, and then in the bottom of the knife, there's a spring that just pulls it back down. And I'm having an Arduino Nano control everything, but it's actually embedded into the metal structure. And I got all the parts for the chopping machine, including the continuous servo motors.
So when you set out, was that a conscious decision on your part when you were building these crappy robots to show people that, wait, hold on a second, calm down, take a step back. These are things that we're creating and they're programmable and they do exactly what we tell it to. So fear not.
To be honest, yes, but any higher thought or interpretation of what I do is an afterthought. I can really get behind that. But the reason I started building this was just because I thought it was really fun. And I had a lot of ideas that I thought were ridiculous. And I just really wanted to see them pan out. Afterwards, because people have a lot of different interpretations on the work I do. I mean, some are like, oh, it's a comment. It's like a social commentary on how lazy we are and how we have everything automated. And I'm like, yeah, sure.
You're like, sure.
It's a commentary on people's fear about technology and the future. But it's all just an afterthought because I just build these things because I really like building things. And I realize that building useless things is way more fun than building useful things.
Okay. Before I get all serious and talk to you about the blog and...
We're getting all serious.
We will get all serious in a second. But before we do that, let's talk about some of your favorite robots and the thought process that went behind them. I think one of my favorites is your alarm clock robot. Because I really need that.
Oh, you need that. Yeah, that is probably my most popular one.
So describe it for people.
Went crazy on the internet. So it's an alarm clock that slaps me in the face with a rubber arm. And it just spread like wildfire, I think. No, unfortunately, not on my YouTube channel, but on different platforms from people like taking it on Facebook. It has around 80 million views, which is just a mind-boggling number. But I think almost all of my projects spur from some sort of everyday problem that I have. So, for example, my first project that I did was a toothbrush helmet. So I took a skateboard helmet, and then I put a robot arm on it with a toothbrush, and it brushes your teeth. And, I mean, it just starts from, like, brushing your teeth is something everybody has to do. Nobody really likes doing it. It's boring. Is there any way I can automate this in a fun way? And so almost all of the ones that I do, I mean, for example, the chopping machine is also like, I eat a lot of vegetables. Chopping vegetables is boring. Can I have a machine that does this for me? So they're almost all from like everyday problems that I have.
And I suppose there's nothing wrong with that, is there? There's, you know,
being lazy.
Well, yeah, being lazy, but also, you know, as human beings, we seem to have progressed so far. And sometimes chopping an onion seemed like a colossal waste of time. So you automate the process.
But the thing is, yeah, and I feel that with like taking robots taking jobs and stuff like that. I mean, I have a very utopian future view where people have jobs, but not in a sense that it's like a physical job or that we can just do the fun things and have robots do all the boring things and that are harmful. And I just... Yeah, so I'm really happy. I feel no shame in like having a robot do certain things for me that I think are boring.
No, but that's the ideal, isn't it? I mean, at the moment, we get an immigrant labor force to do that for us. And they're still human beings. If we could get robots to do all of that, maybe we could treat human beings better.
Yeah, and it's not about like managing more time so you can just lay on your couch or like scroll through Facebook. I mean, that's the time that you can be creative and use your energy to something else rather than... I don't know, washing your hair. because it takes so much energy.
You say that only because you have a hair washing robot.
I have a hair washing robot, yeah.
So what happens to all of these robots once you're done with them, once you're done YouTubing them? Is there a robot grave? You know what I have, Simone? I have this vision in my head of that scene from Blade Runner in that scary building in LA where there are just bits and pieces of robots in your house.
So I actually, before I started my YouTube channel, I used to always pick the stuff apart or my project apart and then use different parts for other ones. But I realized that I can't really do that anymore because I get a lot of requests to show them and bring them to different events and TV shows. So I have a very weird collection of things in my bedroom. It's like a circus, a robotic circus. So I do have all of them. And some of them are like half, most of them are like ready to go at any point. Some of them are like half picked apart because I do get too tempted and steal parts from them.
That has got to be absolutely disturbing and hilarious if you ever bring home a date.
Dude, it's my pickup line. Do you want to see all the weird robots I have? No, nobody says no to that.
And do you get lots of those requests? Not the dates. I mean the robots, the going on the lecture circuit and, you know, trying to inspire young people. Hey, you'd be proud of me. We've been talking for about 10 minutes now and I haven't brought up the whole, hey, I'm a woman in science thing.
Oh gosh, please. Yeah.
Because I think it's a ridiculous question, but
I think, and actually I tend to avoid it because it's just, I think so many brilliant women's interviews are being wasted on talking about what it's like being a woman. And I mean, there are a lot of issues. There's definitely a lot of issues in the industry right now. And it's so unbalanced that it's ridiculous. But I feel like, there are so many people who are great at talking about it, and I just kind of leave it to them. Like, my biggest contribution is being a woman in tech, and I build things and take up a lot of space. But yeah, tricky stuff, though.
Yeah, but what about those lectures? What about the exhibitions? I mean, what is it like talking to people? It must surely be so surreal. Here you are, you thought, hey, I'm gonna have some fun with robots, I'm gonna make funny videos on the internet, and then suddenly you're this spokesperson for STEM.
It is very surreal. And like, for one, just, I mean, the internet is a magical place that I can get global reach for the products I do without just being like a random girl from Sweden.
I'm 10,000 miles away.
Right. It is really mind-boggling. And like, just now that, like, whenever I talk, it's not like people recognize me in the streets, but like whenever I tell people what I do, more often than not, people have seen one of my videos and they're like, oh my God, you're the one. So it is very weird. And saying that, like, a spokesperson for STEM, it just, I find it hilarious because, I mean, people have started treating me as some sort of authority on robotics, and I'm just like a happy hobbyist who's gotten way too much attention for the products I do. And I'm like, I don't, yeah, sure. Sounds good. I don't really know.
But that's what people need. I think they need science. I think they need STEM to be fun and accessible. There is this fear of anything that involves physics, math, chemistry, right, biology, and adding a dose of humor seems to work for most everything else. So why not science?
I find it, I mean, to me, it's just a perfect merge. I mean, it's like putting syrup in your medicine. And I think that doing that, you can reach so many more people and people who wouldn't. I mean, I have people who watch my videos who have never held a soldering iron or are really not into engineering. And they're like mind boggled that they're interested in watching the stuff I do anyway. And I think that's just a good receipt on that you manage to do it, communicate science in another way and reach people who wouldn't otherwise be interested in it. So I'm so down with it. And I think that, I mean, and I often when it is, because a lot of science communicators are fun, but just not in a, I mean, it's fun and it's in a, as a bonus to the science they do, but I want to do something that is like where comedy and science is equally balanced and you could come there just for the comedy and still enjoy yourself.
Thank you. This idea of science communication, it seems like it's something new. I suppose the most popular one I can think of is probably Bill Nye, who's been doing it for decades, and then Neil deGrasse Tyson now. But for the most part, when people win awards for science communication, it feels like it's something surreal.
Right.
No one, there are no awards for accounting communication.
Well, you don't know. Are you sure about that, though?
Actually, I don't know. That might be an entire subculture that I'm completely unaware about.
No, but it is. But I think, and also a lot, and that's something that I've just like consciously made a decision on, that I don't go very much into detail on how I've built the projects that I do or how the technology actually works. Like, in the beginning, when I started my YouTube channel, I was thinking about like, oh, I'll do like videos about like what a transistor is. But I think that there are so many people who are brilliant at communicating science in that sense, that they explain it to you, they teach people about it. But I think that there's definitely a lot to be done in inspiring people to in science and inspiring people to learn about science. And I think I really try to separate the two from being inspirational and educational and going more with the inspirational, because I think that if people are inspired and just feel that they can use science and engineering in different creative, fun ways that like tickles their brain the right ways, then they're going to learn so much more than watching a 4-minute video on something like transistors.
Yeah. Totally. So I promised you I'd get a little serious, not too much,
okay,
just a little bit.
Let's get serious.
And it has to do with that. It has to do with what you just said about 4-minute videos on transistors and trying to go beyond the comedy of what you do. How difficult or easy is it for someone who knows absolutely nothing about science to watch your video and go, hey, wait a minute, I want to do that. Where do I even start?
I think it's pretty hard. Like, I really brush past all of the tricky parts, but like often people reach out to me and I can point them in the right direction and things like that. But I think overall, I mean, it's just, I see it. I'm a huge fan and advocate for learning by doing when it comes to certain things. Like, not if you're a doctor, maybe you're like, oh, we'll just cut a little bit here and see what happens. But when it comes to building things, I think learning by doing is the perfect way. And I just see teaching people to, it's the typical, like, teach a man, give a man a fish and you feed him for a day, teach a man how to fish and you feed him for a lifetime. But just rather showing people what you can do with it and what's possible with very little means is going to go much further than being like, okay, this is how you do it step by step. And I kind of want to throw people out in the deep end of the pool and just be like, okay, just teach yourself how to Google your way forth and actually be able to break down problems into problems that you can solve. But I'm not sure if I'm doing that. I mean, I'm not doing that in a perfect way. I'm happy to point people in the directions of really good resources online. And I think I'm not sure it's something I could do in a good way. I just do this thing and I feel like I'm good at it. And then people can find their own paths.
You say that, but I think having a point of I mean, you say that, but I think having a good point of inspiration is the most important thing.
Right.
Because a lot of people don't even have that. You can YouTube anything. You can learn how to fix your microwave using YouTube. Not that I'd recommend it, but you can.
I think that overall, and it's like, I just see on the way I've learned, since I didn't study this in school, it was very idea driven. So I had this idea that I felt really strongly for, and I just had to figure out a way how to build it. And then I just learned a lot of things along the way. So it was never really that I sat down and being like, okay, I'm going to read about C++ and how to code with this book. Like, it wasn't really like that. It was like, okay, what do I need to know to build this thing or to make this idea come to life? And I think if you can get people to that, and just then you've won so much, because it's really hard to like teach yourself something for the sake of teaching yourself something. You have to have be super inspired, because it is really hard. You have to be really inspired or have an idea that you're really in love with.
Thank you. So, Simone, I know you don't like the whole woman in science thing, but let me tell you this much. Let me tell you this. I think it's still important that when a young person looks at you doing these things, it's going to inspire them to do the same. And for better or for worse, whatever your intentions are, it's the same deal when someone sees Natalie Portman as a nuclear physicist in the Thor movie.
Right.
Right? For whatever that's worth, I think it's a moment that might trigger something in someone's brain.
Yeah, and I think that's the... I mean, I'm not. I mean, I'm really engaged in these questions. And it's something that is very heartfelt for me. But I think overall, the most effective way... I mean, I didn't start doing coding or tinkering with hardware until I was 22. And the breaking point for me was when I saw another woman lecture about it. And it's just such a stupid thing because, of course, I should be able to project myself into, because I'd seen thousands of males talk about it. But it's just a very special thing when you see another woman do it because it's just much easier to project yourself on them. So I think that is like the main hope that I have for what I can do when inspiring, especially young girls and older girls and boys too, but to get into tech, of just having somebody that they could see themselves as potentially becoming. I'm a terrible role model in many aspects. Like, I realize that. But in this, it might be an okay one.
On the bright side, though, I want to go pick up an Arduino set after watching your videos. And you know what? I'm a brown-skinned Malaysian dude of Indian descent projecting myself, you know, onto a white girl from Sweden.
Dude, project all you want.
So is there any real fear of robots taking over the world? Has that thought ever crossed your mind?
Yeah, totally. And I think we have to be very careful. But I mean, we have to be careful of everything that we do. I mean, stem cell research and tinkering with genes and genetics. I mean, I think there's a lot of stuff that we have to understand. I mean, with great power comes great responsibility. But I can't see it. So we have to be very conscious about it. But I can't see that stifling the development that we have. Because I think we're going in a good path. And I think overall, robots are going to save way more lives than they're going to take. That's my guess.
All right.
I put $20 on it.
$20?
$20, yeah.
I'll take that bet. And I'm sure you get this question a lot, but what's the one thing you would like to see roboticized?
Oh, I don't get that question a lot. I mean, I have a lot of projects that I want to build and that I want to see roboticized, but I'm not sure. I don't know. What would you want to see roboticized?
I think I'd like to see something. I'd like to see silly things get roboticized.
I'm working on it.
I know you are. But silly everyday things like, okay, so the driving thing is already well on its way.
Mm,
and I'm pretty thrilled about that, if only because if you know anything about Kuala Lumpur, you know the traffic is awful. And I just think it would add to my productivity if I was sitting in my car reading or working on my laptop.
And humans in general are just terrible drivers. So we can't, yeah. And robots are obviously already at this early stage better than we are.
So yeah, so silly things that we take for granted that we do almost as a knee jerk. The idea of driving, we don't even think about it. But I think of it somewhat like, I'm confused as to why it's taken this long. We automated elevators so we could get rid of elevator operators because that seemed like such a pointless job.
I would want to automate cooking food. And also just not have to make that decision in any way, because I think it's just, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of cooking. I cook a lot though, but I just really wish that I could be like, just decide what I need to eat to be healthy, make it for me. I'll come with a fork.
Favorite robot movie?
Oh, Which ones do I have to choose from?
Oh, there's so many.
So many. You know what? I haven't actually watched that many. I mean, the only one I can think of is WALL-E.
That's a good choice.
I think, if not Happy Movie, what is, I don't know how to pronounce it, Ex Machina?
Ex Machina.
Yeah, really good movie. Gosh, yeah. Terrifying, but really good.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
Thank you for having me on your show.
That was Simone Yacht. Go check out her videos on YouTube. That's SimoneGiertz. You can also just Google Robot Queen. She is all over the interwebs. You've been listening to Eureka. This is the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold cut combo, veggie delight, or black forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.